This episode of Voices of the Elephant is sponsored by DayCamp for Developers. Listen for a special offer at the end of this podcast. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, we're here today with Derek Retens. Derek, I used to butcher your name from the main stage at ZenCon. I can remember doing that and having you just shake your head at me. So I hope
still
I got it right.
Though.
I still do? Yeah, I kind of figured I did. Anyhow, Derek, you are a PHP core contributor and the owner of the Xdebug project. And I want to start this off by saying you're the very first core contributor we've had on Voices to the Elephant. So thank you for PHP, you know, because otherwise I would be doing podcasts to no one. Anyhow, I've got three questions for you, and I'd like to talk to you. Part of it is about your experience in core developer. You're one of the more visible core developers out there and one of the more well-known. Do you consider the current way that PHP is developed functional or broken? And either way, could you tell us why you think that?
It's a bit of a difficult question because there's actually, I would say at the moment, two different ways. How, if you say current, do you mean current up to like a month or current like current right now? Because that I sort of have to give different answers in this case. But let me... see whether I can come up with something useful to say here. So over the last decade, PHP obviously has grown a lot. It started out with just one person writing some software for his blog, right? And I remember when I was starting to contribute that the PHP core contributors was a small group that had some fun in their spare time adding stuff that they found useful to PHP. Including myself, I think one of my first things that I added was Shockwave Flash support for GetImageEye or something like that, which I had at that moment a particular need for. Now, over the past, 10 years now, the PHP project is a lot larger, and it's not only larger in terms of users, but also the amount of people that want or can contribute. So it is a bit different now. It's a different atmosphere than it was 10 years ago when you had such a close group that knew each other quite well. And what I find myself is that it is now less fun to contribute. And you also see less and less people being turned away because of these slight hostilities we have on the mailing list sometimes. But I don't necessarily think is that because people that are not interested in contributing their things anymore to scratch their itches. But it is so much more difficult to do now because there's, as you might be aware of, quite a lot of arguing on the mailing list. And there's a large group of people that want an extra structure to things. And I don't think that is always a good idea. I think it works a lot better if things are more open. I'm not trying to say that every feature should be allowed, and especially if you get to syntax changes or additions, then you need to be very conservative. But just adding a function to an extension should be very simple to do. And at this moment, I would think that it is not nearly as much fun to do that than it was about 10 years ago. Now, in the past weeks or so, some new ideas had come up about how to do, how to add new features and how to decide on adding them, which is done with some kind of voting mechanism. And I find it a really difficult thing because, first of all, who do you decide who gets the vote, right? And everybody has different opinions about that. For example, it matters a lot because I had a discussion earlier yesterday, I think, on IRC, and depending on which user get the vote, you get a different bias towards different opinions. And I think you would often see that PHP core contributors, they would be very conservative about what to add, and especially with syntax features. Whereas a slightly vocal user group that hangs around the mailing list, they will always bias to adding more features without necessarily knowing all the consequences that it has for the language.
Right.
And there's, of course, a whole larger group of users that just want things to work. And yeah, just they don't care about what happens. They just want to make sure PHP works. So yeah, for how to vote, that is always a difficult thing. And I think it's actually a bad thing to do. I think it is much better to have some general consensus. And yeah, I think this deciding who to vote is difficult, because should users vote, or documentation people, or special people that have been appointed that can also vote, like development leads of frameworks and things like that.
Well, I know just recently, it was basically the core contributors that would make these decisions. And I know the last vote that was taken, or the vote that was taken recently on the new array syntax, you had a lot of the end users voting, the people that were on the mailing, on the internals mailing list, but were not internals contributors. And I find this interesting, because up until this point, it's always been, I will contribute this feature, or at least my interpretation of how the PHP works is, I will contribute this feature and I will maintain this code. And since now you've got people saying, I want this feature, but I can't or won't contribute the code. So who owns that code long term? I mean, short term, yeah, we can get it in there, but you know, PHP is a long term project, so it has to be maintained. And so that's the question that this has brought to my mind.
Yeah, for core language features, that is not so much of a problem. But for things in extensions, yes, it definitely is. But you see that extensions are getting new maintainers when the other maintainers drop out. So I don't think that's so much of a problem, the maintenance of things in the future.
Well, that's
yes, it is a point. Yeah, I mean, people saying, I want something, that's good, but you need to get some people to write a patch for you as well, because just saying I want this doesn't make people enthusiastic about your specific feature, right? So
yeah. Well, excellent. That gives us a really good, there's some really good things to think about. The second question, along those same lines, what would you do to change the way that PHP developed, and why would you want to do it that way?
Well, recently, well, about a year and a half actually already, I suppose, we have started to use RFCs. RFCs are requests for comments that people draft, often with a patch, as a request whether we want to have this new feature or new syntax or new extension or how to change an API or thing like that. And those APIs are actually quite useful. They give, if they're written well, they give a good overview about the pros, the cons, what also needs to be thought of, alternatives. And I think the first few RFCs that we had were actually really good. I think the first ever was on traits, which is a new feature, a new language core feature. And I think that was the best case of having an RFC. It was the first one, but it was also the best one written, in my opinion. Because what we see now is that some people are just writing RFCs, and they are not very well thought out. They're full of ambiguous comments. There's still options in them. And what I've also noticed that if an RFC gets put up, then when there are comments, they're not always even looked at or answered. And I think that is a really bad thing, because now you end up in a situation where people write an RFC. They get comments, because an RFC is request for comments after all, and they are ignored. And then suddenly things are put up for votes, and that's it really. Mm. And yeah, I think that is a wrong way of doing. So I would change that in such a way that the RFCs need to be formatted in a very similar way. They shouldn't have ambiguous statements. They need to be really, really clear. And what I would add to that is that if there are comments, they need to be addressed. There should be a requirement that they need to be addressed in a form that you get consensus or maybe a subvote on that. And I think that without that, the RFC process is doomed and it's not working, and you just get groups of people writing RFCs, ignoring comments, and than saying, oh yes, we have this new thing is approved, so let's audit the PHP. And I think that's the wrong way of doing it. So yeah, for the RC process, I would also that the requirement that comments actually have to be answered and discussed.
Interesting, and I did not realize that. I do remember when the traits for RFC was put out, and everybody was very enthusiastic, not only about the feature, because the feature seemed very interesting, but the fact that the author of the RFC went above and beyond to make sure that it was complete and explained everything, gave all the necessary pieces to so that everybody could take a look at it, and everybody was kind of impressed with it.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say even the voting on the release process RFCs that we have now seen are, yeah,
cool.
Have done. I would say they have done. And yeah, I made comments about it that I want to vote for something that isn't done because it makes no sense.
Well, hopefully. Go ahead.
What I feel now is that this whole voting thing and release process has been rushed. And I don't think rushing is in any case a good thing.
Well, hopefully future RFC authors will take a look at the traits and kind of use that as an example, because that did seem to be a great example.
Yeah.
Okay, third question. Let's move away from core. And I know you've got a pet project called that you work on called OpenStreetMap. You do a lot of work with mapping. In one of your previous blog posts, you said that you're a self-professed map geek. Explain to us what OpenStreetMap is, and why do you think this is an important project?
Okay, so OpenStreetMap is primarily a database project, very much like Wikipedia, where Wikipedia stores facts, or lemmas as they call them. OpenStreetMap doesn't store that. They store data on roads, land use, buildings, points of interest, and it's fully tag-based, so you can add tags to whatever object you want. Now, besides it being a large database, it is also quite simple to get the data back out of there with APIs, or if you want, you can download a 17 gigabyte XML file. But in any case, the data that you can out, can you can import into a database. We use PostgreSQL most of the time, but parts of it are also, it's an XML file, you can import it whatever you want, of course, right? Now, once you have imported into database, and depending what kind of database you've imported to, you can run queries on it and things like that. Now, besides just having the large database, the project developed some tools around it that allow you for editing the map. There's a sub-project that creates the rendering of the maps to map tiles. And the map tiles is a product of the rendering engine that goes over an OpenStreetMap database. And that is the only thing you actually see when you go to openstreetmap.org. And that is not nearly everything that the project has to offer. There's much more than just the map tiles. There's also the data behind it that you can do whatever you want with mashups, different renderings. There's a rendering that is focused for cycling. There's renderings focused for hiking. There's lots of renderings for quality assurance on map data and things like that as well. And you can easily make your own. You can make your own styles and render that as well. So unlike Google Maps, it basically only allows you to view the map tiles, and you can't even really download them for your offline usage. Or you can render your own in a different style if you want. OpenStreetMap does allow you to do that. And the same thing with Google's MapMaker. They have a new product now out that allows you to edit the map and add things to it, which is quite nice to add things to it. But you don't have proper access to the data yourself anymore, whereas with OpenStreetMap, you can retrieve the data. And it is under a very open license. At the moment, it is Creative Commons, but I will be changing to Open Database License, I guess it's called, which gives you so many more rights over the data that you're contributing, which you don't have if you give Google your data rights. But I think the most interesting things about OpenStreetMap is also the community around it, because very similar to PHP user groups, there's OpenStreetMap user groups. They have something called mapping parties. At least we have one in London every 2 weeks, where people meet up in a pub, but before they go to the pub, they go mapping in a specific designated area, in my case, London, for an hour and a half. Improve the map in that area, then chat about map or geeky related things. So it's very much to a PHP user group meeting, except that instead of PHP, there is mapping stuff. And I'm looking forward to tonight's. So that's basically OpenStreetMap.
That is really cool. I know you've got a blog post on your blog, which I will link to, that you pulled, using the API, I believe, you pulled out population density for all of the UK and showed some. It's just a beautiful map, and it's just very interesting for me to look at. So if that's an example of what you can do with this, obviously it's a very powerful tool to play with, and I appreciate you being such a part of it. Last question. What is your local user group and what's the URL?
My user local group is PHP London and the URL is phplondon.org.
Excellent. Derek, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And as you know, a user of PHP for a long time, and I know you've been contributing a lot, and your contributions are by and large on your own dime. Thank you for everything that you do for PHP and for the PHP community.
All right, then. Thanks for having me as well.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Voices of the Elephant. This podcast is copyright 2011 EICC Incorporated, and all rights are reserved. For more information on the podcast and to nominate someone to be interviewed, visit the website voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT. DayCamp for Developers is a one-day, technology-agnostic online training camp for web developers. We cover the topics that you won't find at any other conference at a price that every developer can afford. Visit our website today, daycamp4developers.com, and reserve your seat for the next class. As a listener of Voices of the Elephant, use the discount code VOTE to save $10 off your ticket. DayCamp for Developers. Invest a day in your career.